Got game. Got game on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. At Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Coming up on this week's show, the trailer for GTA 5 is out. We give our thoughts on the highly anticipated reveal. Lots of news on the 2K front, including the chance to play with more so-called legends in NBA 2K12. Plus, Nathan Drake is finally back, and we'll tell you all about it with our review of Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. All that and more on this week's edition of Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Have you got game? Lowdown.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I am Omen Qureshi, sitting in the host chair again this week, while Zach Cooper continues to do his civic duty as part of a jury. Joining us as always, Christine Chubb and Brian Calhoun.
Omen, I will arm wrestle you for the host chair right now.
I don't need. Why would I do that? I'm already sitting in the host chair. There's only downside for me in that scenario.
One day it shall be mine.
Yeah, well, one day is not today. Sorry.
let's get to it. Today is Justin Verlander's
that
day.
That is right. Today is Justin Verlander's day. 2K Sports has announced that he will be on the cover of their latest game, which to me comes as no surprise, because if you're going to have somebody on the cover of the game from baseball, it is Justin Verlander. Anybody who follows baseball knows that he had an absolutely monster dominating year. He is going to win the Cy Young. There is no question about it. And he also may win AL MVP. So a wise choice to put Verlander on the cover of their next installment. Also sticking with 2K, but not in the good news scenario, bad time for players of NBA 2K12.
Well, yeah, you could probably argue that in general right now, but at this moment specifically, we're talking about people who want to play NBA 2K multiplayer.
Basically, they decided to shut down their online services for 2K11. There's a note posted saying, "Hey guys, just want to let you know that the services for NBA 2K11 will be shutting down in the next few weeks and could happen early as November 16th. Please keep this in mind when completing your achievements, etc." And Ronnie is the community manager for 2K Sports.
And yeah, Ronnie wrote that post.
Ronnie wrote that post. It's kind of weird. I mean, you know, I know 2K12 is out now and people are playing it, but
They're not happy with it. There are tons of connection problems. Everything from, you know, you're having huge problems trying to matchmake into games, to once you're actually into games, the connections get dropped. So, I mean, it's a really rough time to be playing simulation basketball, and now they're going to take down 2K11. I understand the thinking, like, once you get the new game out, why not save yourself the cash and take down the old servers? Because the number of people still playing that game is probably not as great as the number of people playing 12, but this time around, when 12 is not ship shape,
this is a contentious issue with me, because I think that when you invest the money for a game, you should get more than 1 year of online service out of it. I think that's pretty, for lack of a better word, that's pretty shoddy on the part of 2K to only give them 1 year of the online service. I mean, you know, a lot of people went out and bought 2K11 specifically because of the Jordan Factor and the Jordan Challenges, and it was huge seller, arguably the best sports game of last year. And not only is the fact that 2K12 is having all these problems, but a lot of people bought 2K11 to play it, and a lot of people I know still play it, and they still play it, and they elected not to buy 2K12 because 2K11 was so good they thought they could keep it for a while.
I think this is sort of a unique situation in that. I think when you're talking about most sports games, by the time that new iteration comes out, the majority of people, I'd bet 95% of the people probably have migrated over to the new game.
I don't know.
I'm pretty certain that.
But I think you're right. It's a special scenario where 2K11 was just that good. A lot of people stuck with it and didn't.
And it's not just 2K12. That. It's that 2K12 is so bad online.
Absolutely.
Right,
that's a huge part of it.
Well, maybe if they don't fix it, they'll keep it up and running. I mean, maybe. The chances are this date was set quite some time ago, and it's just one of those things. I mean, he says it could happen as early as. So my guess is that if they're still having network issues, they'll probably keep it up for a little bit longer, probably maybe even until the Christmas season.
I don't know. This post was just made this week. I mean, they've known for a while that they've had those connection problems.
Maybe it just means they're on their way to fixing them.
Yeah.
Like, yay, optimistic.
You can only hope. But it just seems like a strange idea for them to actually even announce that when they're still having those problems with 12.
Yeah, you'd think that the PR people would be like, maybe this isn't the best time to bring this up because we're not off to such a flying start with this service. So maybe we should just kind of keep this under wraps. But then again, if it is November 16th, that's just around the corner, a little over a week or so from now. So I guess you got to give people somewhat heads up. You don't want to
Just shut it
down.
You
don't want to message them on November 15th. By the way, if you want to play NBA 2K11 tomorrow, you can't. Bye.
You know what? At this point, I think they could actually get away with that and not piss off the fans any more than they already have, because they have pretty much already reached rock bottom.
I think that would piss them off a little bit more if you go to bed on like November 15th and you get up on the 16th and you want to play some 2K11 action online and all of a sudden you can't. I think that would
I'm not saying that people would have severe emotional reactions to that. I'm just saying that I don't know how much more angry.
Yeah.
That people can get at 2K right now over what's happening with the NBA 2K franchise.
Well, let's stick with the 2K fold. This time, talk about NBA 2K12. They have announced a surprise edition of 45 all-new, and I'm going to put quotes around this, legendary basketball players exclusive to NBA 2K12's Legend Showcase downloadable add-on pack. The new pack will cost $9.99. And the reason I put legends in quotations is because I'm looking through the list of these 45 players, and I would say, at least 75% of these people are in no way, shape, or form legendary.
What has David Bing from the 68 Pistons, has he done to piss you off personally?
And it's much respect to these players, because I'm a basketball fan, and I know a lot of people are, and I watch basketball my whole life, and a lot of these guys are above average players, many of them all-stars a few times. But when you say the word legendary, you know, that's the Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Isaiah Thomas, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, George Gervin, Pete Maravich. These are the guys that are legends. Here's an example of what I'm talking about.
They're already in there, though.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. After 60 years of basketball, you really only have like a dozen people that you could really legitimately call legends.
That's true. Well, no, that's not true. I would say there's at least 25 to 40 players you could call legendary status if you wanted to. But even then, there are players who are... people who were good players throughout their whole career, all perennial all-stars, not legends, but like, okay, Glenn Rice is in here, okay? Glenn Rice, good basketball player for a long period of time, not a legend in my eyes, but that's not even the ones that get to me. Like Sean Bradley, I don't know if you guys remember who Sean Bradley is, 7'6", tall, gangly, white guy, played for the 76ers and the Mavericks. Not anywhere close to legendary, barely an above average basketball player. You know, they got some guys on here like Dan Majerle, great player, not a legend. Derek Harper, great player, not a legend. Rolando Bachman, great player, not a legend. Mark Jackson from the Knicks, come on. I mean, you know, whatever. If you want the pack with these 45 extra guys, and does it say it'll be available for 800 Microsoft points? It doesn't say when it'll be available, but if you want it, there you go. You can play with NBA legend Sean Bradley.
Or $10 on PlayStation Network if you just want to do the math.
Exactly. Now let's get to the actual big news of the week. Aside from the fact that Uncharted 3 came out, and myself along with Zach Cooper will have a review of that coming up a little later on in the show. But the big news of this week that had Twitter and Facebook and every video game forum across the land and around the world and throughout the reaches of the universe buzzing is the trailer for a game called Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, we know where it's going to be.
Are we sure it's 5 and not V?
Well, I mean, it could be Grand Theft Auto V, but it's also likely Grand Theft Auto 5, V5, 5V.
Well, the reason I say 55. That is because I'm going to go ahead and say that this Grand Theft Auto is going to be put in a fictional version of Los Angeles that they're calling Los Santos, and part of Los Santos is Vinewood, which is supposed to be Hollywood. So that was like the big
V. Hollywood and Vine?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So that was the big V at the end. So I'm just wondering if that has, you know, deeper meaning than what we got from the trailer.
I'm with you. I think the V can mean 5, obviously, but it also can mean, a lot of people thought it might mean Vice City. Let's talk about it. If you haven't seen the trailer yet, you can go to the Got Game blog on sportsnet590.ca. Check it out. It's up there. I was actually, it's funny, I logged on to my computer and I kind of forgot that it was, I knew it was coming out that day, but I forgot the time, and I logged on just as the countdown clock is reading 30 seconds. I was like, ooh, I'm going to get to see it as soon as it comes out. This is cool. The trailer's about a minute and 40 seconds, and it looks very GTA.
Yeah, it really does. It looks great, though, because it really looks like they've updated it. Like, I like the little narrative in the beginning. You know, it already tells you a bit of how the story's going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy who's going to change his life for the better, obviously, as the trailer progresses, you find he gets into the seedier side of things.
Yeah.
It looks awesome. Lots of cool looking cars, lots of cool looking people, lots of cool looking explosions.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite part, actually. It's funny because you and I, Moment, talked about this afterwards. Was there's a scene in it where there's some workers in the field and the plane swoops over and drops poison on them. And we were both like, that is so Grand Theft.
That is,
like,
that is so Grand Theft. Absolutely is.
And I don't know if, like, I'm not saying that this is going to be a bad game. I'm not saying that I don't want play, but it's just like, we always looked at Grand Theft Auto, at least until now, for, you know, something new, something fresh. And watching the trailer, and I think one of you said just now, you know, that's so Grand Theft Auto. That's, I watched this trailer, and I pretty much can imagine what the game is going to be like in my head. You
mm-hmm.
know, you know, a guy trying to turn his life around.
Yep.
I would not be surprised if at some point someone jumped in and said, "Hey, Nico, it's your cousin."
That would be awesome.
Well, yeah.
So,
I mean,
I'm just saying, it's not a bad game. It's just like, I want a bit more surprise. It seems like it's going to be kind of formulaic.
It's funny because that's a bit of what you know, the issues are with Uncharted. And in that, it's in a review later on, you'll hear that part of the problem is that it's more of the same. But the question is that a problem? Because the Grand Theft Auto franchise, obviously, extremely successful, particularly Grand Theft Auto 4, where they kind of tackled new territory, and the whole story of Nico Bellic was awesome, and the sandboxy style of the game was huge among fans. And I'm okay with giving people more of the same, but we should obviously preface this by saying all we've seen is 1 minute and 40 seconds of this. That is it.
But I don't think that the problem that you're alluding to of Uncharted is going to be a problem that will be mentioned when Grand Theft Auto comes out, because the difference in time of the two games, 2 years for Uncharted, and it's going to be
four,
at least
about four,
plus
yeah.
four, because we don't even have a release date yet. We just have this announcement trailer. So that's a little bit more time. I'd be more ready to jump into another Grand Theft Auto than I would an Uncharted game. So I'm not totally sure that's going to be an issue.
Oh, I'm more than... if Uncharted 4 came out tomorrow, I would go and buy it. I'll tell you that much, because...
You mean five?
Five?
Well, you just said Uncharted 4. If it was out tomorrow, it's been out for...
No, Uncharted 3 has been out for a while. Uncharted 4 isn't out yet. I think you just said some...
I'm screwing up Grand Theft Auto and Uncharted in my head.
You almost made some of the heads of our listeners explode. Like, what? There's an Uncharted 4? Why have I been playing this 3 game? So there you go. If you haven't seen the trailer yet for Grand Theft Auto 5 or V or whatever you want to call it, it's up on the Got Game blog on sportsnet590.ca. Once you check it out, you can send us a tweet or an email. Let us know what you think about it. You can follow the show at GotGame590 on Twitter. All of our personal Twitter accounts are also up there. Or you can email us at GotGame@fan590.com.
And quickly, I just want to say that we actually got a few more iTunes reviews recently. And a lot of people are saying a lot of kind things about us on iTunes.
Excellent.
So, guys, if you did an iTunes review recently, thank you very much for your
kind
words.
And that is good to mention that you can catch the show on podcasts on sportsnet590.ca, or you can always catch it on iTunes. Drop us a review. We are always appreciative. And one thing that we really love on this show is interacting with our listeners. So we love to hear feedback. Send us a tweet. Send us an email. Check out our Facebook page. All that good stuff. Also... We are sort of restricted by time in the radio edition of our show, and we can't fit everything we want into the show. So what we've done this week is we've recorded a special fourth segment, which will be on our blog if you want to hear it. It's at sportsnet590.ca.
Or we're going to put it on iTunes as well.
We'll put it on iTunes as well. And what we've done is we've had a conversation with the gentleman who runs a site called Wagos. And what that site is, without giving away too much, is it's a community site where you can buy video games for cheaper and share your love of games. And
it's not really buy. Think of it more as Craigslist. Where two people go, hey, I have this video game, and that guy has that video game. Now, if we could only just trade them for a somewhat equal value, but they got cool ways of doing it.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of information in the interview that we're going to put on a special show that we're only going to be podcasting, so check that out. Also, we're going to be talking about the Silicon Knights story that happened last week.
Very much, yeah.
And, we're even going to get some Rocksmith stuff.
Yeah,
the
Silicon Knights story is not a good story for the local video game community, so you'll definitely want to tune into that. So that'll all be on the blog at sportsnet590.ca. Check the Got Game blog. If you have any, we love to hear from our listeners as well, so if you got any questions, if you want to talk to us, you can follow us on Twitter, GotGame590 on Twitter, or email us, GotGame@fan590.com. Coming up, we have a lot more to come. Our review of Uncharted 3 coming up a little later. In the next segment, we're going to delve into the world of Skyrim, which is a game that I know our very own Christine Chubb is just a little excited about. And we're also going to have reviews of games Burger Time, a throwback to the past, and Just Dance 2. That's all to come.
Dance Central 2.
Dance Central 2. That's what I meant. Not
and
just
Burger
Dance
Time
2.
World Tour.
And Burger Time World Tour. That's all to come on Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We've got game. to you in the game.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Momin Qureshi in the host chair this week, while Zach Cooper continues his efforts as a member of a jury bringing justice to one and all across this country. Joined as always by Brian Calhoun and Christine Chubb.
How about we have a staring contest for the host chair this time?
Nope. Again, I only have everything to lose in that case, and if you host, so do our listeners. Wow. I read your Calhoun
speechless.
Yeah.
So, Skyrim.
All right. Skyrim, a game that our very own Christine Chubb is just a little excited about.
Yeah, just a little bit.
She's only been talking about it like all summer. I remember your head almost exploded when we were at E3 in Los Angeles because
you couldn't believe it.
And she was totally blown away. So that you'll have a review for next week's show. But before we get to that, we have an interview that we did at the X11 Xbox preview event. We spoke to Nick Brecken, who's the community manager for Bethesda, talking about Skyrim.
So let's talk about Skyrim. And obviously that is where this game is taking place. We don't know too much about what goes on in Skyrim other than if you can see it, you can go there, and chances are you'll be fighting a lot on your way. So take us through from point A to B.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, you know, Skyrim is a Bethesda Softworks game, and it is a world where you can go anywhere and do anything. That being said, there is a storyline. We're trying to keep the details of that, you know, sort of a secret at this point. But, very generally, you know, Skyrim is the land of the Nords, and the Nords are, you know, what you would expect. They're a rough people, you know. They live in a frozen tundra with lots of mountains and stuff, and it you know, that tundra and that setting reflects kind of the tone of the story. You know, I mean, there's a lot of conflict going on, and you'll be forced to choose sides, and like any good Bethesda game, you know, pick a path and determine the way that your character is going to, you know, be represented in the game.
All right, so obviously one of the big parts about Skyrim is the adventure and going around and being able to really explore the world. How much of the exploring of the world really goes on in Skyrim? Is there just mountains and everything that you can explore, or is it just really, you know, linear, this is where you're going and this is where you need to be?
It's a completely open world game. I mean, it's very much in the same vein as Oblivion and Fallout 3 if you played those games. And Skyrim is probably, you know, the most detailed game that Bethesda has ever done. You know, we have teams and teams of people who are just packing in content. You know, there are over 200 dungeons in Skyrim, and they're all very unique. And that's something that, you know, we've really focused on this time is variety of environments and just, you know, there are 9 huge towns that you'll run into, and then smaller towns that you'll also encounter. You know, just lots and lots of different places you can go and explore. You know, both on the main storyline and away from it.
And obviously variety is a key word in that. Anything, you know, we're looking on at some combat here, and it's now the dual-handed combat system.
Yeah.
There's a lot of depth in that as well, and I want to ask you, just in terms of the fine line of having a lot of options and having it being, you know, overly intimidating as well.
One of the things we're doing that's completely new with Skyrim is we're not making you choose a class up front. So you're not going to say, I'm a wizard now, and now I have to be a wizard for the rest of the game. What you're doing is you're actually using the skills that you would use, and the game is then going to reward you with points towards that path. So there are a number of different combinations, you know, a huge number of permutations that could produce. But essentially, whatever you do, you will become and get better at. And the game is going to kind of push you down that path based on the way that you want to play.
And talk to us a little bit about the, you know, spell evolution. We know there's tiers to everything and advancement. And, you know, the more you use, say, a basic longsword, the more proficient you will be in said weapon.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, that's true. And there's also a perk system. And so the way that works is the more you use a sword, the more you're going to gain skill in the sword skill tree. And then you'll receive perks every time you level up, and that perk can then be spent in that tree. So, you know, there are, you know, dozens and dozens of different perks and crazy crazy spells that you'll learn. You know, for people who like playing with magic, you know, there are, you know, several different magic trees.
And, who doesn't like playing with magic?
Well, right, yeah. I mean, everybody wants to be a wizard, right? They're the best. So, yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of different combinations. You can be a spell sword guy and have a sword in one hand, a spell in the other, and just, you know, whatever you want to do, we're trying to allow for you to do that.
And one of the main things that's coming out is obviously the dragons. Tell me what kind of a role they play in Skyrim.
Well, the dragons play a big role in Skyrim. I mean, they're returning to the world of Tamriel, for the first time in a long time. and you know, they'll terrorize towns, they'll terrorize you as the player. I mean, they live in the world like other, you know, like dynamic creatures. You know, they're very much in the world, and they will surprise you. You know, they will behave in ways that are fairly unpredictable. And so you'll be going through the world and encounter these dragons. And then the other aspect of dragons that you know, we haven't shown a whole lot of is that they actually can talk. I mean, they're actually the basis of one of the magic trees that you have, which is called Shout Powers, which is a new magic system for us. You're actually shouting the words of the dragons when you're doing that. You'll actually learn them by reading the dragon language. And so dragons are a huge central part of Skyrim. And
they're also unscripted, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, yeah, they are dynamic creatures. I mean, they will, you know, they'll fly around, they'll buzz towns and shoot fire down at you, they'll land and, you know, just go to town on you. There are a number of different types of dragons. I mean, you know, it's a huge, ambitious thing that the team has done to get these dragons in this crazy, you know, open world, but they've really pulled it off, and it looks great.
And I know a lot is obviously, you know, out for surprise, and you want people to experience it for the first time when, you know, November 11th rolls around. In terms of the dragons, can one do anything in particular to perhaps befriend said dragons?
Well, like I said, you know, you can. There are dragons that will talk to you. And, you know, I don't want
to... In a friendly manner?
Well, sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, as friendly as a dragon can look like, right? I mean, you know, they're always going to look like a dragon in your face. But some of them, you know, you will have conversation. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything story-wise, right. but there's a lot to dragons. And, you know, players will definitely, you know, be surprised by them as they go through.
So that's the inside scoop on Skyrim. As we said, Christine Chubb will have the review of the game next week. I know a lot of people super excited about this game. It'll be interesting to find out what you have to say about it, Christine. We'll be eagerly waiting.
Yes, it will be.
But for now, let's find out what you had to say about a different game. This one, not like Skyrim, but probably equally as entertaining, maybe. I don't know. It's called Dance Central 2.
Yeah, I put on my dancing shoes this week. And
danced around Ajax in your apartment.
I did. I had a little party. And, you know, it's funny because I reviewed Just Dance 3 a few weeks ago. So it was a fresh comparison. It was almost impossible not to compare the two.
Of course, yeah.
But I have to say that dance-wise, this game was much more challenging.
Should mention you played it for the Kinect.
I did play it. Well, yeah, it's only available for the Kinect. So it was much more challenging. You really had to follow the moves exactly. And it'll tell you, which is what I like better than, or I like it more than Dance Central 3, is it will tell you when you're doing something wrong, and it will show you which part of your body you're doing it wrong with. It was fun. Lots of great, really modern music. Like the other one had a lot more retro stuff to it, but this one has lots of like current titles.
Like Pavarotti.
Of course, yeah. You got a little disco dance to Pavarotti. That's how it is. It's fun. They have a little... it's really focusing on the fact that people also use this as a fitness program. Like, there is a whole section where it's just called fitness, and you have about 10 or 12 different options where you can just do... And it'll tell you how long it is, and you can do a warm-up, you can do an excessive one, you can do... You know, they go from 17 minutes to about 40 to 50 minutes, and it's fun. You can pause it, and it just gives you a variety of music. You can only play with two people, though. Moment, you and I played this at X11 a while ago.
Yes, it was glorious.
It was a lot of fun, and you had a lot of fun as well. And that's the thing about this game, too, is you are working out, and you're going to break a sweat, but it's hard. But it's definitely fun.
And what did you think of Dance Central 2 overall? Get it? Don't get it?
Overall, if you like dancing games, I would definitely suggest to get it. It's not as much of a fun party whoop-up game. We could only play two players instead of the four players. But the Kinect controls are really good on this. Like, there's a lot more vocal stuff with it. It really monitors how you're doing. And it has this great thing where in the middle, you have a free dance, and it'll take pictures of your little free dance. And then it shows it in this really sped-up version. And the online play is really good. You can do a lot of one-on-one next to each other. And... all in all, I liked it. It was fun. It was very tiring, but it was really basic.
Got a score?
I'm going to give it 7.5.
Nice. Calhoun, you went back in time, sort of. With Burger Time, a game that was popular in the arcades.
Yeah.
Tell us about how this updated
version. Do you guys actually remember Burger Time?
I don't at all, but
Burger
Christine
Time
does.
Was one of my favorite games. Oh my gosh, when I was younger, I played that game so much.
And the original Burger Time was kind of, I guess you could almost compare it to Donkey Kong, in a sense that you had sort of these... you know, platforms and ladders that you had to climb up and down. And while you're climbing up and down them, you're trying to run across the top of these giant burger parts, you know, the buns, the cheese,
the pickles,
yes,
the tomatoes.
Exactly, the ground beef, everything.
This game is making me hungry.
Time World Tour is an upgrade version of that. And pretty much they took that basic gameplay and then they add stuff like jumping, They turned the world from a 2D flat screen to sort of this 3D world that kind of reminds me of like a spiraling staircase, because you have different platforms mm-hmm. that'll, you know, you run around and you have platforms that are higher than the others.
Right,
you have
right.
spots where there are no platforms. And that's why they included deep platform mechanics, like if there's a giant place you can't access by like a ladder, why don't you pick up that rocket strapped to your back and shoot up in the air? That's possible in this game.
That's fun.
Or you can like be really quick to jump across these crumbling little platforms that if you stay on too long, you're just going to fall right through the bottom. So they upgrade things like that. They add boss battles, put in multiplayer, which is a bunch of people trying to competitively make burgers as quickly as possible under a time limit, stuff like that. A basic gameplay built up, and they tried to modernize it for today's sort of gameplay audience.
Is it a 2D format?
Like the old one? It's a combination. I mean, it's a side scroller, mm-hmm. and the platforms look 2D, but all the characters have sort of a 3D feel to
nice.
It.
Nice.
So the problem was that I just didn't find it compelling.
Okay.
And I think I may not have found it compelling because I don't have that nostalgia to go back to. I never played Burger Time before, like the original Burger Time. I've seen it on YouTube. You know, I've read about it, but I've never actually played the original game myself. And, you know, this game here, there's nothing really in this game that I felt compelled to play. I'll say this, the game is put together wonderfully. So above any game I think I reviewed this year, I would suggest going and try the demo. The demo right now is available on the Xbox 360. It'll be available in a couple of weeks on the PlayStation 3 and on WiiWare. But I felt no reason to continue playing this game aside from the fact I had to review it. So 7 out of 10, put together very well. It's going to cost you about $10, but I just did not find any compelling reason to keep playing it.
All right, interesting. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to review the long-awaited, much-anticipated Uncharted 3, as well as Skylanders: Spyro's Adventure. That's all coming up on Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Momin Qureshi here, joined as always by Brian Calhoun and Christine Chubb. Joining us on the line right now, taking a break from jury duty, is one Zachary Cooper. Zach, what's up?
Well, just to correct you there, I'm not taking a break. I am on my lunch break, so I'm still fulfilling all the services that they require from me.
Well, that is true. Yeah, I should have clarified. Well, lunch is a break. It's a lunch break, right? So you're taking.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I'm qualifying it and saying that I'm not skipping out on my civic duty.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not. If you were, you would be like, we would join Zach Cooper on the lam right now, on the run from the law.
Exactly.
which is not what we're doing. But what we are doing is you have joined us on the line to talk about this little game. I don't know if people know it came out this past Tuesday, called Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. Not a lot of fanfare around it, kind of people just a little bit of buzz. Obviously, huge game, Uncharted 1, Uncharted 2, win Game of the Year in their respective years. Naughty Dog coming out with their third installment in the series, a lot of hype around it. Finally got our hands on it, Zach, we both played it. And I guess I'll kick off by just talking a bit about what the game's about. So this is the third installment, and it's more of what you'd expect with Nathan Drake, the title character, on another mission, another treasure hunt, like he was in the first two. And I don't want to give anything away, but I mean, if you played the first two, you kind of get the gist. And it's pretty much the same formula playing out again in this one, with him and sort of the people that you see in the first few games joining him as they go through.
If you haven't played the first
two. Definitely play the first two, because the first two are outstanding. They travel through a bunch of locations. Again, I don't want to give anything away, but as they do in the first couple of games, they travel around the world in chase of a certain treasure. And this game really is a lot more of the same that was in the first two, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing, and I mean that in the sense that the gameplay mechanics are pretty much identical. The weaponry is pretty much identical. The way the story plays out in terms of look and feel is pretty much the same as the first two. But it's one of those things where if you win Game of the Year twice, if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it.
Yeah, I got to comment on that before we move on.
Sure.
I'm definitely not displeased by the fact that it's basically the same formula. It's basically an extension of the first two games. The graphics are a bit better.
Yeah.
But I am kind of disappointed in the sense that the controls haven't been refined. There's no I mean, other than graphically speaking, it doesn't seem that there's any advancement technologically speaking. And it's come a long way. I mean, Naughty Dog's obviously a big studio that's done big things with evidently big franchises. With Uncharted 3, they do a great job of incorporating even more puzzles right from the get-go this time. I mean, they pretty much put you right into it, which is great. And I love that. And I love the fact that they're, you know, fleshing out these characters even more, going back to the relationship between, you know, Nathan Drake and Sullivan. And I think that's fantastic. You know, it takes them back to their childhood without going into too much of it. I think that's beautiful. But I think I expected a little bit more as far as the development of the game from a technical aspect. And that just wasn't there. It literally feels like you're just playing Uncharted 2 again, but with a new storyline.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, too. I have to agree with you there that everything is pretty much as it was in number 2 in terms of weaponry, in terms of the way you fight, gameplay mechanics, climbing the walls, all that stuff. And you kind of summed it up the way I was going to say, is that it's Uncharted 2 with a different story. But I feel that the actual story is really what drives this game. It's a really great story. As you said, if you invested the time to play number 1 and number 2, this game gives you the backstory of Nathan Drake and the relationship between him and Sully and why they're so close and why they do what they do. And obviously, I can't really delve much more into it because it'll give away too much for our listeners out there.
It's very plot-driven. And that's why I suggest as well, if this is something that interests you, make sure you check out Uncharted 1 and Uncharted 2 beforehand.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I mean, in terms of the actual game itself, it's beautiful. It looks incredible, and I don't know how they did it, but it looks better. Because with Uncharted 2, one of the sort of taglines was, it's like you're watching a movie, and it was. And this one, I felt it even more so while I was playing it. And Zach, there's one point later on in the game, I think it's about 3/4 of the way through. I think it's like chapter 18 or something, where it slows down a lot, like almost to a crawl. And I mean that both figuratively and literally. And there's not much going on in this in terms of action, but it's so picturesque and so beautiful at that point. And there's like this narrator talking about all this poetic stuff. And I was standing in front of my TV with my controller watching it. I was like, this is so moving.
It's amazing because even earlier in the game, there's one of the levels, I think it's in France or it might be in Syria, right around that time. It's probably about a quarter of the way through or something. And it's set up as a level that's very similar to one of the levels that we've seen in Uncharted 2. And it just goes to speak on how they were able to improve upon the atmospheres and the environments. But at the same time, if they were able to do that, I would have thought that, you know, that would be able to transcend into, you know, how the characters move and everything along those lines. But yeah, I mean, it looks so beautiful. And it's funny because, you know, as much as I enjoy the gameplay, all the climbing, all the adventure, all the searching for treasures and whatnot, I was looking forward to the next cutscene because they've done so well.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this game. Usually, you know, sometimes cutscenes can get really annoying with games if there are too many or if they're too long. But not with this game and not with the Uncharted franchise in general. The cutscenes seem to be tight and necessary when they have them, and they look fantastic. And I think this is part of why we've talked about this on the show before, that if ever there was a video game I thought that would transition naturally into a movie, it's this, because the games feel like you're in a movie storyline anyway. So it's just a natural fit almost.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just like the comparisons to Indiana Jones. It goes so well, and I don't think anyone would argue with you on that point.
All right, so we should also mention there are multiplayer options, as well as this time around you can play co-op as well. I honestly didn't mess around with it too much.
How do you play co-op in this thing? I guess someone takes Sully or something?
Yeah, I believe that's the way it works, is that somebody does take us.
There are different characters that you can use in any of the multiplayer modes, and you go after, you know, waves and whatnot. They do have some nice twists on the multiplayer stuff, but I'm not going to lie. I spend most of my time with that in the beta. I've been trying to get through as much of the story as possible. Mm-hmm. Doing the jury duty thing, my time has been a little bit more limited. But yeah, no, I mean, it's cool. It's there. I didn't really play too much of the multiplayer in Uncharted 2, and I really don't foresee that I'll be playing any more in Uncharted 3.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. There is a co-op mode in this one as well, where you can play with a partner and try to get through the story. I found, Zach, you mentioned this a little bit, lots of puzzles in this one right off the bat. And some of them super challenging. And if ever there was a negative that I was going to bring up about this game, it's that some of the puzzles they just make you like bang your head against the wall because you can't figure them out. But when you do figure them out, it's a rather satisfying moment of clarity that you have, and sometimes you want to kick yourself because of how simplistic it might have been. But
I completely agree with that. I'm pretty sure they didn't have this second one, but if you get stuck on a particular puzzle for too long in Uncharted 3, you can basically hit a button and it'll solve it for you.
Yeah.
I guess that's important for those who get stuck. I thought we were at the point where you could just Google anything, but you know, thumbs up to putting in there as an option for people who get stuck.
Walkthroughs are your friend, yes, if you need them.
Could you guys give me an example of maybe one puzzle that is in the game just so I get an idea of
There's lots of different ones. I mean, they really are all over the place. Like, there's one where you're sort of in this underground cave, and there's a wall mount of all these different hieroglyphics almost, and you've got to move these four pictures of a couple of horses, a phoenix, and something else on the board using this kind of wheel that you spin, and you've got to get them lined up in the right spot using the clues that you find around the cave.
And the clues that you find are also dictated in your journal.
Right.
It's just like you've seen in Uncharted 2 and Uncharted 1, where they give you a set amount of clues and you need to figure it out from there. I think they do a fantastic job with those puzzles. I really like Uncharted 3. I wasn't blown away by the developments. I'm just happy that it's more of what it is. But I have to take away some points for the fact that it doesn't feel all that different from anything we've seen in the past. I'm sensing that we're probably running out of time, so I want to wrap up my portion and say, you know, I give Uncharted 3 an 8.5 out of 10.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel the same way in some respects, that it is more of the same, but to me that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm okay with that, and I find that in this edition particularly, not only does it look beautiful and it play a lot like number 2, but the storyline is really what drives this game and engrosses you as a gamer, and I found that time passed relatively quickly as I was going through the chapters, and there are some scenes which just are spectacular. There's one where you're fighting in an airborne cargo ship and cargo airplane, sorry, and there's one where you're kind of fighting on this sinking cruise ship, and it's just so awesome. And I'm going to give it a bit better score, Zach, and I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. So Zach gives it an 8.5 for Uncharted 3. I give it a 9. Zach, not only are you around for Uncharted 3, you're also around to give us a review of Skylanders Spyro's Adventure, Spyro the Dragon, back this time around. Walk us through it.
Yeah, so it's not quite the platforming side-scroller that we're used to from Spyro. This one's not quite open world, but it's a you know, three-quarter perspective over the top, loot-finding kind of action-adventure game where you can play with a friend as one of these Skylanders. I don't want to talk about the story too much. It's really not all that important. Basically, the biggest thing with this game, Skylanders Spyro's Adventure, is the business model that goes along with it. So you've got, you know, your starter kit that you buy, and it comes with these three characters, and it comes with this portal. And the portal, it's plugged in through a USB port on your console, whether it be a 360 or a PS3 or your computer for that matter. And it is transferable, and, you know, we'll talk about that in a moment. But basically, these three characters that it comes with, you put each of them on this portal, and it reads them, it senses which character it is, and instantly it puts that character into the game. And the big thing with this, you know, I talk about the business model, there are 32 characters available, and like I said, they all play differently, they all have different powers, they all have different elemental properties which come into effect and also comes into the business model as well. But basically, it turns into kind of like a Pokemon type atmosphere where they want you to collect as many as possible. And in truth, you won't be able to access all the parts in the game unless you have specific characters that can access specific doors. It's definitely marketed towards kids. The graphics are colorful. They're fun. It's fluffy. You know, Putty is one of the voices. Putty from The Tick or from Seinfeld. He's in there and he greets you right off the top. And it's a lot of fun. It's a very simple game. It's one that I think kids will really enjoy. But the one disclaimer that I need to put out there is if you are a parent and you're buying this for a kid, be prepared to shell out a little bit more cash. Each extra character, which you can buy at whatever retailer, is $8. And, that adds an expense in itself, obviously. And as you try and collect as many as possible, it can get up there. There are different adventure packs that you can add that change, you know, the way you play the game as well. And a lot of this game is based around additional content. It's not the traditional DLC that we've seen. It's go out to the store and buy it. And it's kind of sneaky in the way that they'll put out all these, you know, previews strewn throughout the game that show you, you know, who these other characters are and what they can do. And no doubt, you know, I was tempted on a few occasions to try and find this character in the store. And I know if I'm 10 years old, Zach, I'm definitely asking mom and dad for, you know, $8 or whatever. But, you know, if you think about it coming up to the holidays, great stocking stuffers. I do want to mention as well, there's some cool multiplayer modes. Moment, I know we spent some time with the other day. You know, there's your basic battle arenas, and I think there are 6 different arenas that you can play through. And there are a couple other modes to just sort of tweak the core gameplay. But it's cool. And for kids, I mean, there's no online co-op, but you can easily transfer any of your characters over to your friend's place. And it works on any console. It doesn't need to be, you know, if I've got a 360 version, I don't need to play it on 360 at my friend's house. I can do it on the PS3. They have it for, I think, 3DS, Nintendo Wii, the PC, Mac. I mean, it's all over the place. And the best part is, you build up one of your particular characters who you love so much, you level up, and you can carry all that data, which stores automatically on the physical character toy kind of model thing, and you can bring it to your buddy, and it instantly loads with all your stats, all your powers, and everything. It's a cool game. There's not too much substance, but kids eat it up, no doubt, and I think it's definitely something to consider for the holidays. I give Skylanders Spyro's Adventure a 7 out of 10.
No, Zach, I just quickly want to add to your parental warning, because I actually got a chance to check out this game about 3 or 4 months ago at actually a retailer's sort of convention, not like a consumer or, you know, a developer, but an actual retail convention, a whole business thing. And they actually were doing business meetings about this and talking to retailers about how much they expect parents to buy. And they were estimating that each household will generate $115 in sales. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money on a game, yeah.
That's if the kid really likes it. I mean, there are 32 characters, and they look amazing. Like, the character models are done so well, and it's enticing, you know. If I want a piece, then there's no doubt that, you know, a kid would definitely want in, and, you know, they get the taste. They see the preview videos. They see the powers, and they want in. They also see the locked doors that they can't access without these characters, and no doubt they're asking mom and dad for another character.
It is indeed a brilliant business model. Zach Cooper gives Skylander Spyro's Adventure a 7 out of 10. He gave Uncharted 3 Drake's Deception a 8.5 out of 10, while I gave it a 9. That's all for this week for Zach Cooper, who joined us via phone while he's on his lunch break at jury duty. For Momin Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubb, this has been Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.